You're listening to the Happiness Patrol.
Hey guys, we've got a really special thing today on the Happiness Patrol. We've got Ken Deep. Ken Deep with us by surprise. Ken, hey, yay. Welcome back to the Happiness Patrol.
By surprise, he means they messaged me and said, can you come on the show? And I said yes. So it's a surprise to the audience. It's not a surprise to any of the three of us.
Right.
Why are you breaking the fourth wall, Ken? Why are you breaking that fourth wall?
I am, aren't I? I just threw Lewis under the bus.
Oh, God. And here it comes.
So I'm doing a podcast with Lewis, but not the one you're thinking of.
God. Ba-boom-boom.
Did you do that the last time you came on our podcast?
Did I say that then, too?
Yes, I think you did.
I'm a one-trick pony.
He is, but that's okay. We like your pony, and your pony is welcome here any day. So, Ken, you've been incredibly busy lately, working up LIHOO, the event of the season, LIHOO 2, I'm sorry, because last year was the first time that you tried to pull this off, and I remember you talking and pre-planning LIHOO, the first one, LIHOO 1, while we were all in L.A. At Gallifrey, and you were like... You were like electric. You could see the electricity coming off of you. Everything was sort of like coming together. And I was like, wow, this is great. I wish I could go to this one, but I'm not going to be able to. But this one, we're going to be at. The entire podcast is going to be at LIHOO this year.
That is true.
And
so
we're excited.
You jumped into like 30 things that I have to slow down and go back on. So a quick backstory is a lot of people who know that a couple years ago I had a heart attack. And when I was in the hospital, and when you're in that kind of situation, and not to make light of it or make light of anybody else's situation, who might be having health issues, but you know you start to reevaluate and think about a lot of things. And one of the things I thought in my bed, laying there in the hospital, was if I get out of this, I'm going to not let things that I want to do slip by anymore. I'm just going to do them, and high on my list was to do my own Doctor Who convention. I just said, I really want to do something like this. And a month or two later, the convention that many of my friends and I work here on Long Island, ICON, which I was involved in a few years ago, was postponed. So that news had just broken about a month after everything that I went through. And I was at my friend's holiday party. And she said, you know, this really stinks. We lost our favorite con that we do every year. And, you know, we're in the dark days here. And I said to them, well, why don't we just do our own? And what was happening at that time was that Gene Smith from Chicago TARDIS had mentioned that he wanted to do New York TARDIS for the 50th anniversary. And I thought that that would come along and we would help him out.
Right.
You know, my friends and I would volunteer being his New York ground support. Well, it turns out that he passed on that. And Barnaby Edwards from DWNY puts together his Who York events. And I thought maybe he would do something. And he's going in a slightly different path, career-wise and what he's doing. And although he's still involved in that, he kind of said, no, I'm not putting anything together. So when I was sitting with my friends, I'm like, if it's not me, if it's not us, who's going to do it?
Yeah, exactly.
And it seemed like we had a lot of the right things in the right place at the right time. We had a whole bunch of people with a lot of convention experience who suddenly found themselves out of work. And we had the 50th anniversary sitting on our doorstep. And we're in New York, like the capital of the universe.
Yeah, pretty much.
you know, London's got their convention, and LA, of course, is the pinnacle of Doctor Who conventions, and Chicago is there doing it. It just has an extraordinary history, and New York's got nothing. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
So it just seemed like the perfect thing, and I knew that. In driving distance from New York, you have Philadelphia, you have Boston, you have New Jersey had a ton of fan clubs back in the day, in addition to what we had in New York. I knew that there would be people who could get in their car or get on a train or something and get here with relative convenience.
Right.
And I said, we got to do this. And we just did. And that's what happened last year. And the reason why I had such a smile on my face was no matter what we were going through, whatever difficulties or challenges we were facing, it was living out that dream for me.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like it was a big success.
And it was. We sold out, which we hadn't, in the back of your mind, you always hope when you do something that you're going to sell out. You know, you're going to get to that point.
Right, right.
But we were very realistic. We only had 6 guests last year. And I say only, I mean, we knew not to bite off more than we could chew.
Right.
None of us wanted to lose our shirts. My partners and I, and we figured, okay, we had a real modest break even point where we all agreed, you know, if we had to rope every Doctor Who fan in that we knew to come that weekend, we'd be able to break even. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. At least.
That's very smart.
And we went way beyond that. And this year we've already sold out our 3-day passes and our Saturday passes. And as of the recording of this on the 21st of October, 2014, we have a few Friday and Sunday passes left.
Wow. So you're sold out Saturday.
Those will probably be gone in the next, I would say, probably between now and Halloween. Uh-huh. Yeah, in the next 10 days. Yeah, definitely. We're confident that it will be sold out in advance of the show, which is nice because we don't have to take cash at the door and things like that.
Yeah,
It's sad to turn people away, but from a safety point of view, as a showrunner now, to not have to take cash and have to worry about that stuff. We've already passed our break-even point.
Oh, so great,
we're at
great,
point
yeah.
now where the
You're
money
in gravy
that we're
mode.
Have in these last batch of tickets is really setting us up for next year where we already know we're moving to a larger location.
Oh, my God. Wow. So tell me this.
And that's breaking news. That's Happiness Patrol exclusive. And that's what you get when you're doing your live show at our convention in a couple of weeks.
Well, we're excited. I know I'm excited as can be because, we're going to be celebrating at LI Who our 5-year anniversary. Of the Happiness Patrol, and that'll be thank you. And and Ken, a lot of you new listeners may not realize that Ken was on the very second episode of the Happiness Patrol ever.
Wow, really?
Yes, you were. You were on the second episode, and we've had you
but
on.
Dear listeners,
since.
Remember, I am number two.
You're number two.
Now you're the new number two.
It was quite fun. LI Who 2, you got a lot of guests. Now, when you were at this point last year for your first convention, were you as confident and already had plans of like who you wanted to invite to LI Who 2?
Yes. I had already had guests booked before last year's convention even started.
Oh, wow. You were doing it right.
And I hope that doesn't sound like we were being cocky or overconfident.
No. Not but at all. I mean, it's smart.
Yeah.
What we knew when it was just a success is that we wanted to do it again. Mm. Because you can't vacillate and wait 6 months to think about doing it.
Right.
You're either jumping in with both feet or you're not. And so there were some opportunities that we wanted to take advantage of last year at this time and put into place. So around September of last year, my partners and I got together and met and said, if we're going to pull the trigger on doing this again in 2014, now's the time to make that decision. And they said, you know, based on the numbers, we knew we were going to sell out.
It
was trending really well for us. A lot of things operationally were going very well. And although it wasn't a perfect con by any means, we didn't have any huge pitfalls. We had what any con has whether it's a well-run, established con or a new con, you're going to have things. You're going to have learning curves. You're going to have bumps in the road.
Growing pains.
I didn't expect that one of my staffers would fall and break her wrist. Right?
What?
That's just not something in your game plan.
Yeah, you can't anticipate things like that.
You do what you can do. You plan for what you can plan for and then wait for the unexpected. So so going back on that, we knew we were going to do a second one. And I had a lot of people that I had to say no to last year because we didn't want to, again, overextend ourselves and put ourselves in a position where it was a one-only event.
Right.
So that's kind of where it started. And then what I was meant by taking advantage of it, we knew that we wanted to advertise and put tickets on sale at the first one for the second one. We were going to Galley used to do this.
Yes.
Before it sold out in 17 seconds.
Yeah.
They used to put tickets on sale. And I was famous for buying those on Sunday.
Oh, me too.
One, I'm a cheap son of a gun. So I wanted to get the cheapest one. But two, Sean Lyon said to me one time behind the scenes, he said, you know, when people buy their tickets on Sunday, on Monday, I have working capital to start moving on next year.
That's true. Yep. That's true.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, you know, let me tell you something. I've known Sean now for a few years. The dude works for the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. He's as smart as it comes. You know what I mean? He's he's a very bright guy. And my staff knows when Sean talks, you listen.
Yeah.
There's been times when he and I have been texting or messaging or whatever, and I've been late to meetings, and they'll be like, yo, you know you're late. And I'm like, I was messaging with Sean. And when Sean talks, you listen.
Yeah.
Because he will always tell you something smart because he's got 26 years experience running a con that we would want to run, a fun, entertaining, for the fans convention. And big enough to be powerful, but small enough to be intimate.
And speaking of Sean Lyon, he's going to be one of your presenters this year, correct?
So he messaged me and he said, I'm going to come to L.I. Who. And after I cleaned up the mess in my pants from worrying about, my God, it's like having a papal visit.
You know? Yes.
Oh, God.
The truck with the glass box that stands in so he can wave.
I don't think you're going to need all that, but maybe a red carpet or something.
He says, whatever you do, don't just put me a name on the website. Unceremoniously, I said, listen, I'm already talking to the webmaster. How do I fit Sean Lyon between Paul McGann and Colin Baker on the top of the page? He's like, you don't you dare. He's
very
great.
Funny.
He really has been. Oh, yeah. He and Gene Smith and the whole crew in both conventions have been very supportive. And then, you know, Console Room started up and we have a nice working relationship with Console Room where we exchange ads and things. And we have a really nice community of Doctor Who conventions.
It is great. And it seems to be a lot more of a family now, hence the internet and all, with Chicago TARDIS and the long running Gallifrey One for sure. And it just seems so natural because, like, you start seeing, you know, and a lot of people talk about, you know, your tribe. Doctor Who fans are a big tribe among themselves. And a lot of people, if they can afford it, they try to go to each convention every single year. I know our very own Chaz Martin likes to do that.
Chaz and I were on a panel called John Pertwee. Fuck yeah.
Oh, yes. I wish I could have been
and
there.
This year, we're sharing.
I love Pertwee.
I'm doing one of the very few panels that I do at my own show. The sequel this year is Roger Delgado. Fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And all you have to do is see a picture, a still of him with a cigar in his mouth in the back of the limousine from Mind of Evil, and you say, Roger Delgado, fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'll be there.
Oh, great. Hey, now, let's talk a little bit about guests. You have not one, but two doctors, Mr. Paul McGann and Colin Baker.
So I'll do this quickly in reverse.
Sure,
Colin is being sponsored by Alien Entertainment and the Doctor Who store. That's Gene, who does Chicago TARDIS.
Oh, okay.
Doctor Who store. And he He's the distributor for Big Finish in the I know it's the United States, but it might even be North America, and they just had their 15th anniversary. Big Finish did.
Oh wow! Yeah, I remember seeing that.
They put out a disc called a series of discs, actually a set called The Worlds of Doctor Who, and what it is, it's a nice starting point, and also a nice tip of the cap to their 15 years. Many of their spin-off series, Gallifrey, Daphne and E.G.'s series, the Vault series, Jago and Lightfoot, and the ones with Pam Salem. The team from Remembrance of the Daleks. They have a name for it. Damn, yeah. I'm blanking on it. They all get together to thread this sort of story. And in the end, of Collins' Doctor rides in to the rescue. And you know, that works to solve this thing. So Big Finish and Alien Entertainment are bringing Colin in to promote that. We have Daphne and EG at our show as well. So we're celebrating 15 years of Big Finish that weekend. Nice. And we have Paul McGann, who's actually that in November, Dark Eyes 3 is coming out. So between the two of them, we're just spreading the love for Big Finish here in New York. Daphne was at the show last year. And so was Fraser, and they were at Chicago TARDIS. And my friends, my crew, and I rolled out to Chicago TARDIS. We drove last year. We did like the Scooby van, mayhem, snowed, packed in the car, sleeping in the car. I mean, old school hippie style stuff. And we get to Chicago, we check into our room, and I'm mingling in the lobby before I've even picked up my pass. It's Thanksgiving. I'm pretty sure it was Thanksgiving because we got in around dinner time. And who rolls out of the elevator? Paul McGann. I've worked with him before. I've done a couple of shows with him. And he must have been talking to Daphne. He comes right up, gives me a huge hug. He's like, Kenny, what's up? And he's like, first thing he says to me, tell me about Long Island Who.
Oh, nice.
And at that exact moment, I'm like, that's my guy.
Yeah.
How do you not – That enthusiasm. How do you not ask that man to come to your show?
Yeah, he's pretty cool. And plus, once he captures you with his like hypnotic eye look, it's hard to break away from that. You got to have a lot of willpower. You got to have the willpower of Captain Kirk to break away from that. So
I want a voice box transplant to sound like Paul McGann. He has the greatest voice ever. Greatest voice. It can be serious. It can be funny. It's so versatile. It's so smooth. It's so pulls you into things.
The ladies love it. Hell, everybody loves it. Gay men and straight men alike love it. It's crazy.
Have you ever heard him narrate like an audiobook? It's such a pleasurable listen.
Oh, yeah.
It brings everything to life, and his voice is just so easy to listen to. It's honey being poured in your ears. It's incredible.
Oh my God!
I have a little man crush. Can you tell?
Oh yeah. Well, he's got a gorgeous voice.
He's amazing.
I could listen to him read the phone book.
Well, you know, it's funny because you know you were talking about. I'll spread my the one time we had Paul McGann on the podcast, and I'm really hoping to have a little bit of time with him in L.I. Who if I can, because I'm there. Daphne Ashbrook, the lovely Daphne Ashbrook, pulled this off
friend
for us.
Friend of the show, Daphne.
Friend of the
Ashbrook.
Show, Daphne Ashbrook. She pulled this off for us. She set it up because I was going, Daphne, you think we might be able to get Paul to talk a little bit? And she was like, I'll see what I can do. I'll message you. And I was like, okay, cool. And we get in the, you know, she messaged me, we bust ass, we go over to where she's at, and there's Paul McGann. He's just come out of a thing, and he's talking with Daphne, and we get over there, and I get my recorder ready to go, and I'm kind of nervous. My friend who was with me, Terry Lightfoot of the Dirty Whores, was
a lovely lady.
Oh my God, lovely, the lovely Terry Lightfoot. She was shaking it like a tree, and I was like trying to play it cool because I was like going, "Don't worry," because Terry has a thing about talking to people. You wouldn't think it, but she's actually a little nervous when she's, you know, talking to new people and such. And so I was like, "Don't worry, he's cool. He's going to be fine. It's not a problem anyway." And so then Daphne introduces me to him, and I'm like caught in that hypnotic stare,
you know?
Right. And I'm like, Let me just get my recorder going, and I pressed it. And the thing about the Zoom, you know, you press it once, and it puts it on pause, and you see the levels going. And then you press it again, and it records, right? I pressed it once, and we had this wonderful conversation. And I looked down at my recorder, like, you know, before, you know, I'm about to let him go, and I'm like, shit. It's not recording. And I was like, and I'm like, how do I play this cool, right? Because I got to play this real cool and actually push my record button and ask him to do a couple of things again. And I didn't really want to because he was exhausted and he was ready to go. And let me tell you, I look up and there's all these women, girls and women, just like all around the little sofa area staring at us. And I'm like,
oh yeah.
I was like, and I'm trying to play it cool. So I was able to get all, you know, a few short questions, but nothing like the conversation that we had just had. And I was just like, I felt like an idiot. And but anyway, I just let him go and thanked him. It was cool.
May I share a secret that I've never told anybody?
Oh, stand by. Happiness so Patrollers, listen up. You have an exclusive.
So this will be the second exclusive on the show so far. Exclusive. I'll tell you a quick story. But going back to my PodShock days, I was at Chicago TARDIS. First time I ever met Nick Briggs. He'd just taken over over Big Finish. You know, Gary had left and Nick takes over. And he had just broken the news at the convention that they got Tom Baker to come to join Big Finish.
Wow.
I get an interview with Nick. I sit down. We hit it right off. I hit him at the exact right moment. He wasn't too tired. He was willing to chat. He had a lot of excitement, I guess, because Tom had not thrown his script in the garbage. And I sit down with Nick. I think we must have chatted easily half an hour, 45 minutes, maybe even an hour. Wonderful. I am pretty honest with my interviews. I know when I've hit a home run and when I haven't. The one with Nick was a home run. And of course, he's gushing about the Tom thing,
right?
Which I would have been the first guy on the block with this thing.
Right.
I'm recording it on my iPhone on the voice record. So I flip my phone around like the sports reporters do. I hit the button and I got it on the table and I'm going and we're laughing and telling stories and doing the whole bit, you know, good chemistry. Motherfucker, I never hit the record button.
Oh.
I don't know. I've never had the balls to say to Nick, I fucked up that interview.
Yeah, I know. Same way with me.
Ancient history, he'd never remember it in a million years. I was like, what am I fucking stupid? This is why I always have someone backing me up. Like normally when I record, as an example, Billy Davis rides shotgun with me.
Right.
He'll be my technic, my Teschnicken.
Teschnicken, I like that.
He's a Teschnicken.
Mission. And and he will he'll sit and just, you know, make sure it's recording, monitor the levels, whatever, and let me just do the thing that I do, which is gab endlessly.
It usually only takes that one time. For that to happen, when you go, okay, let me double check my recorder before we start anything, you know. So you got Paul McGann, Colin Baker, Yeezy So, Nicola Bryant, the lovely Nicola Bryant. That's going to be fun.
Yep.
And Daphne Ashbrook. You know, I don't think I've seen Daphne and Nicola together, but I have a feeling. That's going to be.
They know each other.
That's going to be something else right there.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be some
that's
kind
like the
of
hottie party.
The hottie party. We're going to a hottie party, baby. Woohoo.
I'm going to be a pig for a second.
Okay,
check this out. I've got Nicola Bryant, Daphne Ashbrook, Nita Toussaint White, Emma Campbell Jones, Wendy Padbury, who is absolutely adorable, Deborah Watling, the girls that are coming. Girls. I'm calling them girls. They're all ladies, of course. But. There, I mean, I have just a really, really sexy cast.
You do.
I have
you
to
do.
Say. And for the, I mean, then you throw Paul McGann in the mix. Forget it. It's just a home run.
Well, you forgot Sam Stone for crying out loud.
Oh, that's
speaking of sex, okay. Sexy.
You know why? Because I'm scrolling through the pictures right now. I don't have a picture up. Also, I don't feel like fighting it out with David J. Howard.
No.
And also, the world now knows that the lady is spoken for because we've all seen her ring, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we have.
Congratulations. Congratulations go out right now to Miss Sam Stone and David J. Howe for their upcoming nuptials. Yes, absolutely. So yeah, that's great. That's all. You know, it's so funny because was it you, Nancy, who said you thought they were already married?
Yeah, I just assumed
well,
they were.
You know, it's so funny. Because
same here. This was news to me. I was like, whoa, what?
That's how you can tell a really great couple, because they already look like they've been married for a long time. And they just, I've never seen two people, I mean, it's so obvious. Whenever you see them, just even casually, you can tell they're so much in love. And they really enjoy each other's company. And that's a great thing. So congratulations, Sam and Dave.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's two talented really people. Thing. They have a lot of good things going for them. I wish them nothing but all blessings going forward with, you know, being married and stuff. I mean, just cool folks. And always bring something great to a convention. I speak firsthand because I watched them last year.
Oh, yeah.
They're great.
So, but getting back to the party at hand, Eli, who you here?
Go ahead. Feel free.
Give us Friday. Some of the highlights.
The convention starts on Friday, but we're having a pre-convention, like, kickoff, soiree, party, concert.
Time Flight concert? Is that what I'm seeing here?
The Time Flight concert. Okay, I'll tell you about this, because this is not going to be an annual thing. This is a one-off thing. So if you don't come to this, and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I missed Dominic Glynn playing the Doctor Who theme live, you're kicking yourself in the ass.
Oh, I bet.
First thing is, the thing is dirt cheap, right? Uh-huh. It's $15 for the upfront seating, or it's $10 for general walk-in, you know, standing room only kind of thing. It's in the middle of a freaking airport. And so, like, standing room doesn't mean, like, oh, crap, I'm going to be uncomfortable. There's restaurants and bars in this place and all kinds of stuff. Uh-huh. You can find a seat at the bar and see the concert, you know, 100 feet away from you, and you're not going to miss a thing. And you'll be sitting there getting tanked. So... so for $10, it's the same price as going to see a band at a nightclub or something, you know? So it's not breaking the bank. The guests aren't signing, aren't doing photo sessions. There's no vendor tables or anything like that. It's just strictly a concert for people who fly in a little early. We have a little way of getting together. Uh-huh. Daphne is singing. She's performing songs from her new album.
How nice.
Plus a few classics. Dominic Glynn is performing music from his time on Doctor Who, the late 80s, live, in concert. You're going to see music from Doctor Who live. He's got an exclusive mix of the Trial of a Time Lord theme that's only being played here at LI, at the Time Flight concert for LI Who. That's fucking incredible.
That's very cool.
Then we have a band called Time Flight. They're kind of like a troc band. They're out of Chicago. They're driving here. They do all songs about Doctor Who. They played the Way Station a few months back, which is a local...
I've heard about that place.
Geek-themed bar in Brooklyn with the TARDIS and whatnot. They played there. Everyone loved them. We had to invite them. And then our buddies from Snakes and Arrows, who are a Rush cover band, which is out of Long Island. They're Doctor Who fans. That's the first thing.
Oh, wow, nice.
And, you know, Billy Davis, he's in a Kiss cover band, a Slayer cover band. So he knows everybody, right?
Yeah.
Dude Lou, who's the bass player, is a Doctor Who fan. And last year he said to me, yo, if you want a Rush cover band to play your convention, I was like, the fuck am I going to do with a Rush cover band? But one to never let an opportunity go by, I'm like, I'm going to put that shit in my file cabinet. Because you never know, right?
You never know.
It doesn't fit
a
convention. But sure enough, we decide we're going to do a concert. I'm like, that's where those guys are going to play.
How funny. That's cool. Now tell me, where is this concert going to be? It's going to be in the airport? Is that what you said?
Yeah. So what happened last year? Just back up for 2 seconds.
Yeah, sure.
Last year, you were talking about LI Who Won.
Right.
When you bring people from 40 of the 50 states in the United States to Long Island to show up to a convention, when people come in from Canada or fly in from the UK, which was obvious. Of course, we have, you know, Doctor Who actors coming in, so you have people coming in from the UK. But, you know, we had people who flew in from the UK just to attend. They weren't like celebrities.
Right.
And then this year, we have four people flying in from Australia. Not like a tour, like four separate people who just said, well, shit, I'm going to buy a ticket and fly to New York and making a vacation of it. We have England, Canada, Australia, obviously the United States. We've exceeded, I think we're at like 42, 43 of the states in the United States are sending a representative to a convention. That's insane. And what happens is the Long Island, the people in tourism here on Long Island, the Convention and Visitors Bureau, things like that, they notice crap like that.
And
that's great. That can open up doors. That's good.
You know, you're kind of doing something cool. And in their powwows, their meetings, whatever, when they get together and they talk about, you know, what concerts are coming in, the Islander schedule, the real estate people doing their annual convention or whatever, up comes this Doctor Who convention, our Doctor Who convention. Do you know they brought people from 40 states last year? And it was like, get the fuck out of here.
Will the representative from Arkansas please approach the podium?
That's exactly what it was like. And they were saying, well, we want to do more. And the first thing is that our hotel is an airport hotel, kind of like Galley's. We're right on the property of the Islip MacArthur Airport. The downside is Islip MacArthur isn't a fully international location yet. So if the people from Australia, for example, would have a difficult time coming right to that airport.
Right.
They have to go to JFK still. But this is an up-and-coming airport. They're trying to attract business, try to get noticed, really.
Right.
And the people at the airport said, you guys can come and do some Doctor Who stuff here if you really want. And we were like, well, we thought, well, maybe we'll do some panels over there. You know, we'll have like an annex. They'll make that like an extra hall. But then we'd have to like rent a bus and put a schedule together. And it was just like, you know what? We're a hotel con. I don't really want to go that way, but I still want to do something because these guys have been really cool.
Yeah.
And Billy Davis, being a musician, what do you think he said? I mean, we're going to do a concert. And I'm like, that's why I was like, yeah, we got the Rush guys. He's like, well, Daphne sings. She sang last year. We would be great to have Daphne come and perform. And I said, well, you know, Dominic Glenn was one of the people I was telling you about who wanted to come last year.
Right.
And I could. I said, I know I'm inviting Dominic Glenn this year. And that's how it kind of came together. And it, to me, it's a one time only. LI Who 3 won't have a concert on the Thursday. We'll probably do something different.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I know exactly what I'm doing yet. Hint, hint. but we're doing a concert. It's a one time only thing. It's a really unique experience. It's in the atrium at the center of the airport. The TARDIS will be in the house. We're building a huge stage there. Like I said, there's a bar, there's a restaurant, there's a radio station right there.
Holy crap.
Who have been
great to us. The East End of Long Island is famous for its wineries. And there's many of them have pooled together. And they have this place in the airport that looks like a giant, like a little winery with this giant thing. I can't even explain it. And they have wine tastings there.
Oh, wow.
So we're doing wine tastings. We're having food. So that's what I said, but like for $10, you could just go hang out and go to the wine tasting. Yeah. Okay, you don't have a seat, but who gives a shit?
Yeah. This is just going to be great because, you know, like you said, when you invite musicians, you know, you can't just invite them and say, we're going to ask you some questions about your music, blah, 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 blah. They want to play. Musicians are just going to want to play no matter what. So I think that this is going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
There are so, as I was mentioning, the convention is almost sold out. But that's a year of promoting and talking, you know, selling tickets and having people roll up. With the concert, we didn't really get rolling on that till like April or May. So there's still plenty of tickets.
Cool.
Well, the seated tickets are limited, and they're about halfway sold out. But the standing room stuff, you know, we'll be that's one of those things where we'll actually have walk-ups on the day of. You can walk up to the airport, plunk your $10 or $15 down. Well, if there's still seating available, but you can get in. The place holds as much as a freaking airport will hold. I mean, we've said 1,200 on our website, but the truth is the fucking airport could hold like 10,000 people. It's a giant airport.
It's a giant airport. Yes, of course. Now, do you have any photos of the airport where it's going to happen or anything on your website?
I'm just kind of curious. No, but on Facebook, if you look up Long Island MacArthur Airport, there's a whole set of photos there.
Okay. Cool. That way, yeah, that I always and like to have a website, visual.
I'm sure it's Long Island MacArthur Airport.com. There's a little tram thing that goes from JFK now to Jamaica Station, which
that's
is
what I saw. Yes, train. So that's what I'm going to need to do, I guess.
And then you take the train to Ronkonkoma, and that puts you 1 mile from the hotel. And the hotel has all the hotels in that area, even our overflow hotels, La Quinta and the Hilton Garden Inn. They have free shuttle vans if you're staying there. You call up when you get there, and you say, "Can you someone send the shuttle?" I recommend you call a few stops ahead of time. So when you get to like Deer Park Station, which is a couple stations ahead, call and say, "I'm arriving on the such and such train to Ronkonkoma," and this way the van is there waiting for you.
Wow. Awesome. Thanks for that advice.
Trains. Yeah. This Orlando boy won't know what to do.
I'm a train girl.
Speaking of this Orlando boy and this podcast, we are all excited because we're going to be able to do our thing Friday night. We are actually going to be interviewing Friday night live at LA Who 2 on the main stage B, I do believe. It is Fraser Hines, Wendy Padbury, and Deborah Watling. It's going to be a Second Doctor Companion Love Fest. And we're all going to be there on stage, and we're all going to be talking with these lovely people. And I cannot wait to see what craziness Fraser is going to pull, because you just never know with that guy. You just don't know.
So here's a couple things I can tell you about my inside track on this. Well, the first thing is the only reason you're on main B and not main A is that the main A on Friday night, we actually start our convention with our celebrity dinner. So a lot of conventions will do it on a Saturday. We actually do the dinner as almost our opening ceremony. The only downside is it's a separate ticket and it only holds 200 people, but it's kind of, you know, people sit, it's a really nice opening ceremony, but it's not an opening ceremony. It's a dinner. It's hard to explain. Last year it just worked. And so we're going to start with dinner, and then those guys are going to come over after dinner. And you have to remember that open dinner and you're a guest at LI Who, you're probably going to have a couple of glasses of wine.
Yeah. Hey.
You know, you're going to, we're not going to skimp.
Yeah.
You're going to head down the stairs to the Happiness Patrol live.
Be very, very happy.
You're going to be very happy. Cool. You're going to have three friends who have known each other for decades together, who are in one of the most legendary times, one of the times where people, when they talk about chemistry, this is one of the times they talk about, the Second Doctor era.
Right.
The chemistry between Deb and Fraser, or Wendy and Fraser, and Fraser and Patrick, and Wendy and Patrick, and so on and so forth. These guys are just great. They're great guests, and you guys are going to have the show is just one for the ages. I'm going to tell you right off the bat. This is the one people are going to be downloading 10 years from now and still talking about.
And going, this is the part where Lewis fell on his ass. This was so funny. You had to be there.
This Friday night is a home run. After you is the match game of Rassilon, which is right up the Happiness Patrol alley, because it's for adults. It's salty language. You know, it's PG-13 or better. And last year it was a riot. It is nothing but laughs.
Well, so, we made a promise to Billy that we would try to keep it at least PG-13, because, you know, after all, Wendy and Deborah are ladies. They're ladies. They're proper
that's
ladies.
True.
So
that's
we're gonna see what we can do. In fact,
and it's 9 p.m.
Yeah. And we'll try to keep Fraser in line, but I can't make any promises with that.
Can't make any promises. No, he works clean. I mean, he's a He's just filled with fun and entertainment, isn't he? He is.
He's amazing. So,
I'm really excited.
I'm excited too. We're all excited. This is the first time, and thank you, Ken, for making this happen. Because you know, like I said, when I went to Galley and saw you guys, you and Lewis and James up on stage doing your thing with Podshock Live, I was like, holy crap, these guys got their shit together. That's what I want to do. That's where I want to be. I want to be on that stage.
My chance to return the favor.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, and we're looking forward to it and preparing as we speak.
You guys know, obviously, from my history, my convention is very podcast-friendly. To me, to have podcasters is just a natural, you know, because that's what I am. I'm a podcaster. That's how I started in all this and got to know people like you. So, and there's no way I could pick. I was going to try and be a wise ass, but I can't. I was going to say, I want to proclaim you guys to be the official podcast of L.I. Who, joining the official podcast Who on Who and the official podcast.
Right. We're all official podcasts.
The official podcast, The Reality Bomb, and the official podcast, and an occasional podcast.
We're officially something.
I just keep rattling them off, you know?
There should be a ribbon.
There should be a ribbon. We're the official podcast.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about this thing on Sunday.
So Sunday morning, before the convention starts, this unfortunately is already sold out. It sold out well in advance. Sunday morning from 8 to 10 a.m., we do one of the things you do when you run a convention. You have a lot of meals, right? You have the dinner with the celebrities. You have the breakfast with the celebrities. Last year, we had food, and the guests showed up, and they were wonderful. But it was kind of like people just kind of sitting around looking at each other. You know, occasionally they would ask somebody a question, or and the guests would either, some would come in early, some would come in later. I wanted to make it something a little more structured this year. And you know, my old expression on Facebook for like a gazillion years is coffee and podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
I'm having a coffee and podcasts Sunday morning breakfast buffet. And what that's going to be is there'll be the usual breakfast buffet, and people will come in and have a table and sit down and be able to help themselves to breakfast. And the stars will be there, a good chunk of them, if not all of them. A bunch of podcasters are going to be there interviewing guests over coffee on stage. So you're seeing sort of panels, but you're also still – people will be sitting at your table, and they'll say, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Terry Molloy. And he'll get up from his table and bring his coffee and go sit and chat for a few minutes with a podcaster.
Uh-huh.
And you'll be in attendance at all these different podcasts. You know what podcasters are going to do. They're going to put that stuff out right on their feed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to be able to say, I was there when they interviewed Terry Molloy. I was there when they interviewed Fraser. I was there when they interviewed and so on. So that's kind of what my idea was. That could totally shit the bed, or it could go really great. So I'm hoping that it goes.
Here's my biggest worry about that Sunday morning.
You're banging on your hotel
door. You're going to be asleep.
Lewis, you got an interview.
I got a what? I got a hoo-hoo. that's exactly what it's going to be. And no, I'm afraid I'll be like going, okay, so Colin Baker, thank you for joining us. I've got a little bit of a hangover.
And for me, that's going to be 5 in the morning.
For me, I'll just be hungover, but that's okay.
Yeah. I have an excuse. I have jet lag.
Yeah. If I'm going to be hungover, I've got to be talking to Nicola Bryant. So there you have it. So, Ken, you've got some highlights that you're particularly excited about this year, correct?
Different conventions have invented different things over the years. And I hope this is one of the things that people will say, L.I. Who, they were the first to do that. We have a thing called Scene by Scene.
Uh-huh.
Originally calling it Scenic, but then the cease and desist order showed up. So we're changing it to Scene by Scene. And that's where actors will do a panel with a moderator, and we'll pull some clips from their career or from their episode. And in a case, let's say like a perfect example is Colin Spall.
Uh-huh.
We'll pull his scenes from Rise of the Cybermen and Age of Steel and just slice them up and show them in little itty bitty bits and allow him to watch it with the whole audience, and then he'll comment on it and take questions and really break it down. Like, yeah, that was a we shot that on a Tuesday, and it was 8 a.m., and it just finished snowing, and the crew had to, you know, all those kind of stories we'll be able to get out of them. So scene by scene, there's a bunch of those over the weekend. That's something cool to look out for. We have a lot of fan film stuff this year. We have a lot of fan film makers attending in addition to podcasting. Mm-hmm. We're fucking cosplay crazy. I have not one, but two dedicated directors just to costume programming of some kind or another.
Oh, wow.
The legendary Jan Fennick, who also works out at Galley in Chicago, does the costume cavalcade on Saturday night. She has a brand new thing called the Time Lord Timeline, where they do a chronological parade of costumes.
Oh, wow.
From
that sounds
an unearthly
fun.
Child to death in heaven. It's just, it's really cool. And we the usual celebrity panels, of course. I mean, we have a 1996 movie panel. We have a Night of the Doctor panel with Paul and Emma Campbell-Jones. We have a reunion of some of the cast of Revelation of the Daleks, because we have Colin, Nicola, Terry Molloy, and Colin Spall.
Mm-hmm.
We have a series of meetups going on all weekend. This seems like sort of, if you look on the schedule, you'd be like, well, there's main A, main B, panel A, panel B, photo studio, autographs. And then there's a thing like the last one, it says MacArthur Suite. And it's like the smallest room we have. It still holds like 40, 50 people. And it's a little out of the way. It's just a place where we've set some time aside for people who are like-minded to get together. So I'll give you an example. There's one called Fans of the Second Doctor. And if you're a Second Doctor person, you might go there and meet other people. And that's a whole bunch of people who you know, anybody that's in that room, you're Second Doctor fans. Like, you're really passionate about it.
Right.
We have New Jersey fans, Boston area fans, Philadelphia area fans at different times on the schedule. So if you're a dude from Boston or a girl from Boston and you're like, oh, you know, I'm from Boston, but I only know one other Doctor Who fan. Well, if you show up there, you're probably going to meet other people.
That's great.
We have an LGBT meetup in that room, right? So now you're a person with a diverse background. You want to go meet some like-minded folks, maybe meet some new friends or whatever. There's a perfect starting point. And also in that room, you'll have meet and greets with people like Dominic Glynn or Dick Mills, where you could go and meet some technical behind-the-scenes people. If you're a musician, do we have one called for Musicians Only, where it's not for musicians only, but a dude like you, Lewis, who's a musician, it's a chance for you to walk into the room, Dominic Glenn's hanging out, and you'd be like, can I pick your brain about Logic or Pro Tools or something like that? Uh-huh. And you can just sit and talk shop with the guy. We have a panel on the Minister of Chance, which is the not Doctor Who related fan film. It's not even a fan film. It's an independent film,
yes.
Right? It's when you have Paul McGann and Sylvester McCoy and Paul Darrow and a cast like that. I think Sophie Aldred's in that as well. And that's not a fan film. That's an independent movie.
Yes, it is.
And there'll be people there talking about that, which is kind of cool. The fan groups, like I said, meeting up. And let's see if I can find I want to find something I can pull out here that's going to make you Doctor Who Legacy, you know, the game.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
We have exclusive codes this weekend for the game players. And they have like codes that unlock things in the game.
Uh-huh.
We have exclusive codes just on LI Who weekend. And we have codes on ribbons.
Ooh.
If you're a legacy person, you're going to get a legacy ribbon. There's going to be a freaking code on the back of that. That's insane.
That is pretty cool. Holy crap. I hope, you know, there sounds like you've gotten so much going on. It's just going to be the event of the season, pretty much like the major kickoff of the season. Actually, we're going to have a nice little warm-up here in Orlando with Hurricane Who.
That's right.
The week before. the week before. And that's going to be pretty amazing. I don't know how I'm going to.
This is not for the week of liver.
No, it is not. It is not. But I guarantee it's going to be a lot of fun. And my first time going to Long Island. I can't wait to see your little hideaway there. That little place that you keep so secret.
And it's going to be my first time even passing through New York City because I've been to White Plains and Yorktown.
Yeah, that's not
many
really.
Years ago.
Yeah, no disrespect to White Plains, but
oh, well. I was working on an IBM project.
Oh yeah, yeah, they have offices up there.
Oh yeah, that's where I was going.
It ain't
it's
no
beautiful.
Ronkonkoma, that's for sure. It ain't no Ronkonkoma.
Anyway,
it's
but
no
yeah, I've now, I, this is right, going to be a yeah. whole. This is going to be a new experience.
Ronkonkoma is no Ronkonkoma. This is a guy who lives on Long Island.
I can't wait. The exciting city of Ronkonkoma. Yeah. So, but anyway, on that point, let me say goodbye and thank you so much. I won't say goodbye, but I will say I will see you soon, Mr. Kennedy.
Yes, we will see. I will see both of you here in just over 2 weeks as we record this.
I can't wait.
Really excited. First off, I love happiness. So when you guys are bringing happiness, that's great with me. We have a lot to live up to this year. I mean, last year we set ourselves a nice watermark, and I just hope we live up to those expectations. I mean, we have our own big shoes to fill from last year, and then we have people like Sean coming, you know, who runs one of our favorite conventions in the world, and Gene coming, who runs our other favorite convention in the world.
Yeah.
And listen, Gene came last year. One last story for the road.
Uh-huh.
Gene's a businessman. He owns a store on top of running a convention.
Uh-huh.
And Gene paid me the ultimate compliment last year. He said, how'd you like this weekend? He said, I made money. And if you're in the vendor hall, that's the compliment, right?
Yeah,
right.
That is it. That is it.
Meaning that, you know, people came. They came here. Doctor Who fans came. They were anxious to find the things that they couldn't find in the stores around here, to get their autographs, to take a picture with their heroes, to meet other fans. We have a really nice community, much like the other conventions do, the Orlando and LA and Chicago and now us, that people bring their goodwill to our event. And we, hopefully, the locals, the Long Islanders who are organizing this, myself and the rest of the LIWHO staff, we bring our desire to make other people happy, to have them have a good time. And the combination of those things, when they all click together, it makes for a great convention. It's not just a staff. It's not just an audience. It's when all the things come together. It's why when I said Paul was excited to come to New York, I knew right off the bat he was going to come. Fraser, same thing. Fraser said, can I come back next year? And I said, sure. Can you bring some friends? He said, oh, yeah. And he was the one who reached out to Wendy and Deb and said, you got to come to Long Island. It's that kind of stuff. E.G., another guy. E.G., when I said to him, Paul and Daphne are coming, he's like, yo, I heard from Daphne how great it was. I'll be there.
That's great.
That's amazing. And that is so cool.
It's that kind of energy. It's that kind of response. You know you're going to have a good time when people want to be there.
Yeah, that's going to be great. So, well, I will see you at the party, my friend. So you take care.
I'll see you guys there. If there's anything you need, please don't hesitate to ask. And I'll see everyone at LIWHO, hopefully.
Absolutely. You take care and don't work yourself to death, okay?
Yeah.
Cheers, guys.
Okay, see ya.
Okay, thanks, Jen.
You've been listening to The Happiness Patrol.